Well, hello, this is Jeff Gadiosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And the new buzz going around the business these days is that genre labeling is coming to an end, and that with the advent of streaming, people listen to many types of music, sort of making the idea of a genre obsolete. But perhaps no one person defines this idea more than my guest today, Josh Newcomb. If you could think of a genre, chances are Josh has an album for that. It's a pleasure to welcome him. Josh, welcome to Misplaced Straws.
Yeah, appreciate you having me.
Anytime. First of all, over the course of 2017 to 2018, how many records did you release?
Ten albums.
And each one, for the most part, in a different genre, correct?
Yes.
And yeah. What were some of the some of the genres you were getting into on these?
Rock, hard rock, blues, bluegrass. I even did a Western album, back when they used to say there's two kinds of music, country and Western. But this is just a Western album. So we're pretty big into, Old West movies and touring in Old West town, so had to do that album. Had a couple country albums and I actually had a couple more albums in the works when I signed with Steve at SKH Music, and Steve's like, hold off for releasing albums for a minute.
Let everyone absorb these first.
Well, he's like, let me do some official releases, because I would just record the album and when it was done, I would just upload it and put it for sale and say, hey, I got a new album out. I didn't do a pre-release or any kind of let anybody know. There was only one album that I let people know about, which was a hard rock album called Low End of the Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted on Facebook, I went live on Facebook and said, starting today, I'm going to write a full album of 10 songs and record it, master it and mix it within 7 days and release it. And so as I was doing that, I would film, on Facebook, do live feeds of me working on the album and talking about different songs, giving updates and stuff. So people knew I was doing it like that. And I did it, and I released Low End of the Bottom and wrote it and released it in 7 days.
And one thing you mentioned there I want to get a little deeper into. You mentioned that you wrote and recorded the record in 7 days. Now, on all of the songs on all of these records, you write, record, play, produce everything, correct?
I pretty much everything other than fiddle and steel guitar for the most part. It's somebody else playing. But all the bass, drums, guitar, keyboards, and vocals, of course, all the vocals and whatnot. Yeah, and I write all my songs by myself. I think I've co-written maybe 3 or 4 songs in my life.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you do have one album of covers, the Christmas record. That's more traditional than Christmas one.
Well,
that's actually not included. It's even a Christmas record. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even included in the 10, no.
And now you also have a double record out. Is that counted as one in the 10?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
And now, what brought about sort of, was it something where you just said, okay, I'm feeling prolific, I'm not quite sure where I want to go, I'm just going to write it and put it out? I mean, did you ever consider sort of the more traditional release schedule?
Yes, and, I always, everybody else does it differently than I do it so far. And, I have friends who release albums or artists that I really like that release albums, and they'll tell you about an album. And sometimes it's 6 months or more, before you ever get to listen to it. And by then I'm already forgetting about the album or whatnot.
Right.
And so – and then when, Netflix come along, they did it a lot like I do it. Like, for the most part, they don't tell you about most of the shows. You just get a, you know, I'd get a notification on my phone saying, hey, here's a new show you might like that's brand new. And, you know, it would be a big movie or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I thought, man, that's way better, because most of the time, I would, as soon as I would see it, I would click over and, you know, maybe start watching it, you know.
Right.
And so I just thought that's when people would be the most excited, is when they would hear about it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just started doing it like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear that coming from an artist. I think we're at a time now where everyone does the thing where, you know, here's my single, and 6 months the record's going to come out. You know, they'll leak a song here or there, and as you said, by the time the record comes out, you kind of lost interest in it. You know, so I like the comparison to Netflix of, you know, all of a sudden here it is. And in your case, here's the whole season, because we got 10 of them coming.
Absolutely. You can binge watch it, binge listen to it.
And now, of all those genres, and like I said, you have, you know, Low End to the Bottom is a really heavy record, but you also have a more traditional rock record out as well. And a couple, you know, what's that one, Hillbilly Metal and Whiskey Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And then you also have a different, you know, subgenres of country and blues in there as well. Is there one area that you gravitate for and feel most comfortable in, or, you know, do you feel good doing all of that?
I guess I feel good doing all of it, because when I start to do something, I think, man, I love this. You know, this is great, you know. And so then I get it done, and then when I go to start on something else, I do the same thing, you know. Oh, this is great. I love this, you know. So same thing at shows, when I'm playing live, I do the same thing. You know, if I'm playing a show where a majority of a style is more fitting, then, you know, I think this is great, you know, and then I'll go do a different show where, you know, same thing might happen with a different genre, and I say, oh, this is awesome. I should do this more. So yeah, I don't really gravitate toward one or the other, unless I'm just doing it, I guess. But I also hear stuff on the radio, like, you know, Brian Seltzer is just coming out with the new Stray Cats album.
That and sounds great so far.
And I hear it, and I'm like, man, I got to do a rockabilly album.
That's,
you know,
nice.
I mean, yeah, it just that the sounds just, you know, hit me, and I start, as soon as I start hearing it, I start thinking, you know, what would I do different, and how would I keep it, because I love to keep the traditional of stuff, you know, but on the most part, and then maybe add some things on certain songs that make it, you know, get away from the tradition part.
And you mentioned touring and playing live. I mean, you've been on some pretty eclectic bills, you know, everybody from, you know, playing with Power Man 5000 and Methods of Mayhem to Blackberry Smoke to, you know, the more traditional country of, you know, Merle Haggard and Don Williams. When you play live, do you have to sit back and think, like, okay, this is a rock crowd or this is a traditional country crowd, and then put your set together?
Yeah and no. I mean, I always find that people are going to like it. Like, there were times when we toured with really heavy bands, and and I would stop and say, you know, does anybody like Merle Haggard? And most of the time people would yell and be like, that's great. And I would play a Merle Haggard song just to get them knowing, you know, and everybody would dig it, you know. So that's what, you know, kind of got me knowing that, for the most part, other than pop music lovers, if people love you know, old sounding country or bluegrass or rock and hard rock of the more raw sense, like the AC/DCs and that rock like that, then I find that they usually like each other. You know, an AC/DC guy probably likes some Waylon Jennings songs, you know, or some Johnny Cash stuff.
Yeah, there is more of a similarity than you would think, you know, looking outside when you start digging into some of those songs.
Yeah, and I think probably not similar as much in music as much as in rawness of the writing and recordings and stuff.
And when you were growing up, what did you listen to? Who were your influences that kind of got you to this level of, you know, being able to traverse genres?
Well, I was the youngest of a pretty of four brothers, and of course my mom and dad. So, you know, they all liked different things. I mean, I pretty much loved everything. I was just soaking it all in. One brother, you know, was big time into Ozzy and Black Sabbath and all these kind of bands, and then the other one was into, you know, Rat and Van Halen and those, and then my dad was into Everly Brothers and Marty Robbins and stuff like that. My mom was into, like, excuse me, the 50s rock and roll and and bebop stuff. So it was just like I was just taking it all in and doing whatever I could possibly do, you know.
And what age did you start playing music? You know, when did that bug bite you?
Seven.
And starting with guitar?
I remember my, starting with guitar. I remember my my dad trying to teach my older brother guitar, and he didn't really want to learn. And so I was just kind of there, and I would say, teach me, you know, and of course a seven-year-old trying to do it there. You know, he didn't want to teach me. And so I would just learn what he was teaching my brother, and I would go and practice it whenever they wasn't doing it. And eventually my dad's like, oh, I better teach him, you know. So I just took it and ran with it.
And now, in the music business, it's often a no-win situation in that if you put out too much stuff that sounds the same, you know, you get tagged with, then you're not evolving, you're not growing. If you put out too many different stuff, it may come across looking like, you know, gimmick or something like that. Have you gotten any kind of blowback from these releases, or for the most part, is your fan base kind of accepted that everything that comes out is going to sound a little different?
You know, that's where I'm happy that, you know, I have done this now, at the beginning stages of everybody even knowing about me, you know, before these 10 that I did recently, I mean, throughout my, you know, life, I've released a country record here or a rock album here that, you know, before I was getting my recording craft honed in to where, I mean, I pulled them albums and don't associate with them to release them anymore because, you know, I don't feel like they're up to par. They were like practice albums for me,
right.
And sonically. So I've always done that. Everybody that's known me, you know, knew that, you know, I had a country album out then, and then I had a hard rock album out over here. You know, I was working on a blues album. So, but, you know, like you said, artists usually get that done to whenever they release an album. And then they get famous, and then they release another album like that last album, and they do that for two or three albums. Then they try to branch out.
Right.
The good thing about mine is, like you said also, is that everybody that knows me knows all this now. You know, everybody that's been to a show or that comes to a show now, they see it. That means I go from one extreme to the next, and that's when they become a fan. And I'm not trying to all – like, you know, I have a couple country albums out now, and I have two rock albums, and I'm of course going to be working on more. So I want to have enough material that if they ain't into the other stuff, they're like, I like this part of them, you know, one does the other, and that's awesome.
When the crowd can relate to.
Yes.
Yeah. And now of the 10, do you have any that sort of stand out as your favorites, you know, that you feel are strongest?
I do that same thing that I said about, you know, picking the music. Everyone, if I'm listening to it, or somebody, especially if I'm around other people that are listening to one particular album, you know, and seeing their reactions, I start feeling like that. And then I'll be around somebody else who's, you know, into a different one, and they say it. And so, no, I don't. I mean, I they're all my kids, you know. I mean, a lot of times, my favorite thing to hear is, you know, I don't finish a song or feel like it's finished until I love it. So I got buddies in Nashville who write, you know, and they co-write with two or three different people. And, And they, when I ask about a song, they say, "Ah, it's a pretty good song we wrote today. It might get cut, you know. Somebody might cut it." Yeah. And they don't like this part of it or that part of it. And I'm like, "Well, then why did you finish it?" You know. And they're like, "Oh, so and so liked it, you know, or whatever." And so, but I don't do it like that at all. I'll hold on to a song for a long time if it don't come out. You know, if there's a part about it I like, I'll just put it away until something else presents itself to make the song, to make me love the song.
Right.
You know, and once I love it as much as the last, you know, whatever one. Now, I understand that some songs have hooks that, you know, right away, mm-hmm. as soon as I start playing it, the crowd, you know, starts singing along, even if it's the first time they heard it, you know. But that don't, to me, that don't make it a better song. You know, it just, like you said, I mean, a melody can do that with the most terrible words to it, you know, can make somebody sing along. So I try not to look at it like that.
And now, what's next for you? You have these that all came out over, you know, the 2017-2018 time period. Are you going to concentrate on a couple of these as actual releases? Are you planning on, you know, going right back in and recording more? What's the plan coming up?
Well, I'm, like I said, when I got with Steve, I have a new album already done, and I'm really fired up about the album because it's I'll tell you this. So I know we're going to re-release in an official capacity, you know, one of the country albums and one of the, and of course the blues album is officially being released on June 29. And then, so I know we're going to re-release three or four of these, but we're going to do it in a pretty quick time period, you know, like in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, they should be out where Steve can do what he's doing with you, mm-hmm. you know, get it to people who are interested in letting their fan base know that helps mm-hmm. let our fan base know. And, but then this new album, it kind of ties everything together, but in its own way for somehow, I don't know, but it sounds completely different than the other album.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about it.
Great. And any tour plans for the summer?
Yes, I mean, I've always toured nonstop, pretty much over 250 shows a year through right now 30 states. So, I mean, Blackberry Smoke said at one time, I think on one of their posters, it said we don't go on tour, we are on tour. you know, so that's pretty much how it is.
Like Bob Dylan's never-ending tour. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I just seen an interview with Willie Nelson, and he said the same thing.
Yeah. Well, for people who are interested, they could check out your website, which is warpaintentertainment.com, and it has, you know, your music, it has your tour dates, some video, so people can really get a feel for what a lot of these different records sound like and find you on the road when you come around.
Yeah, or joshnewcomb.com takes them to the same thing.
Oh, great. So, Josh, thank you so much. Best of luck with the releases coming out and with the new record that we'll see shortly, and hopefully we'll catch you on the road sometime soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Yep, bye.